You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, Ears Up Podcast, In Depth. This is our news show, our, bi-monthly? I don't even know what words mean. Bi-weekly? Bi-monthly? It's bi-monthly. Bi-weekly? Jeremy, what is it? Two times a month.
I don't know. I never know the difference between those.
You neither do I. I'm stupid.
Like, is it semi-monthly? Because it's not... No, that would be every other month.
I think it's bi-weekly, meaning every other week.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
Twice a month.
Twice a month, that's right. Well, and sometimes more, depending, and it's that's speaking of faults earlier before the show, that's my fault for not manning the calendar very well, because sometimes we'll do like three shows a month, and I'm like, wait a minute, what are we doing? We've only opted for two of these, but sometimes the week is like five, or the month is like 5 weeks long.
Sure, you get June is a five-week month generally, March is a five-week month generally, yeah. September and December, those are usually longer, slightly longer months, so that is when you would have that happen.
See, I don't even know that. And do you have that little like song that everyone supposedly learned in kindergarten about 30 days hath September, October,
April,
November, December?
June and November.
Yeah, I've never learned that.
You didn't?
No.
So you knew that it was a song, but you were like, I don't want to know the words.
Well, because I go, this is information I'm never, ever going to know.
Why?
I don't know. I've never found a need to know how many days, are in the month. But I know that the actor who played Darth Vader didn't know he wasn't also going to be doing the voice until he watched the movie. So I know things just, on a different level.
Okay. On the 30th. And sometimes the 31st of the month, it's helpful to know this sort of information.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you're probably right, but I just look at my phone. I go, okay. What's the date today? I don't know. It's the whatever. Cool. I don't know, but that's lazy.
As long as you have a system, I suppose.
You really do,
Mine
man.
Mine is the song.
Yeah. Is it really? Do you go back to the song in your head and you go like, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 30 days has September, April, June, and November. That's like you run through in your head. If it's not one of those months...
It doesn't count.
31, unless it's February. And it was a song. And I played it on the piano when I was a kid. That was like one of the first songs I learned how to play.
Of course you did. Hey, speaking of pianos, you got a nice looking keyboard set up now. You ditched the recorder. You've traded it in. And now you've upgraded.
Yeah, I got a real discount off the piano for giving them a used recorder.
Just knocking the spit out on the heel of your boot before you enter the store.
Bite your tongue. I kept the recorder. I'm going to try. I want to see if I could do recorder with one hand and piano with the right hand and see if I can actually play
my
own duet.
You're coming more and more like Yanni every day.
Yeah.
Come close. I have a whisper in your ear that whenever he's been posting on Instagram, I follow him now on Instagram. He's a lunatic. His posts are loony.
Forget him. Read the comments.
Oh, really? Are the comments on Yanni?
This is a podcast in and of itself. The comments that people write, and here's the thing, you don't have to look far. The first one will be ridiculous. It's guaranteed. I'm going to go to it right now, Yanni. I'm going to do the Facebook. You do the Instagram.
Oh, yeah. I'm on Instagram right now. So here's a post that you and I both liked from May 4th, 975 comments. Official Yanni, I'm whispering in your ear, a message made of notes rather than words. I know that you all understand me. Don't forget our date on Monday, May 10th. Brand new video. And then the first one, yeah, that's my Mother's Day present. And then Yanni writes back to her and says, Happy Mother's Day, my sweet. I have missed you. Sending all my love, your Yanni. Two kissy face emojis, a heart emoji, three rose emojis, and an eagle emoji. And I tagged Yanni in a post because I made some Greek food for Greek Easter. He didn't have the courage to write to respond to me, so I'm a little upset at him.
He doesn't care about your Greaster food.
First of all, they were great cookies. Lola Walker, thank you for a quiet voice when I need it, my love. May your voice always be shared with the people and places that light a spark in your soul. Thank you so much for being you, my sweet friend. Dove emoji, heart emoji, eagle emoji, kiss emoji.
It's all insane. This is the fourth one down on Facebook, so you don't have to go far. They're lunatics. My dear legend Yanni, love you so much. Heart, flower. Tomorrow, many of us fear tomorrow. Hope remains stuck between faith in it and fear. What is remove a barrier and gives a person strength and self-confidence, and that we are able to connect to what we dream and imagine is love, true love, dreaming of seeing the lights of the North Pole. I dream about hearing your piano sound up close. This video would touch my soul. Love you. May God bless. Jason Petras.
Damn, you got outed me right now.
They're all like this, every single one of them.
They really are. And what is it about the platforms that just cross lunacy? Like a whisper, your songs cheer our lives up. When was the last time a whisper ever cheered you up? You're like, oh man, I'm sort of down. Free breadsticks at Olive Garden. Oh, what? I love it. Thanks.
May this breathless moment I'm feeling with you never leave my heart of tears. What does that mean?
Should we just do a Yanni fan podcast?
I should. I mean, I have these psychos tuning in. But imagine if this was the kind of comments people left on the Ears Up.
I would love that. Please, everyone, start doing that.
Your breath in my ear, Terrence, while immersing ourselves in nature's embrace with you, Bev.
I can feel your spirit walking with me, cheering me up in those long rides on Rise of the Resistance.
I mean, we could only hope.
You make my spirit soar, my popcorn bucket overflow. It's weird, man.
I could read these all day. Sometimes I have my friend that I screenshot them all the time and send them to her. I'm just like, here's another one. Check it out.
Well, anyway, so everybody.
Yanni's great, you know, but his music's very difficult. I'll tell you, because I've been downloading music and playing it and, you know, trying to learn it and everything. And his stuff's tough.
Oh, tough to play?
Yes, it's very difficult to play. You know, I mean, I can play music from Coco till the cows come home, but I can't do you know, Truth of Touch or Santorini. Forget it.
Why not?
It's too hard.
Oh.
What am I, a virtuoso?
I don't know. In my mind, sure, probably. I mean, anybody who can play the piano is like, oh, yeah, you can then play anything. Are you going to be in a band? Are you going to start a band? You and Tom Amin going to do a duet?
Maybe we'll be dueling pianos.
Oh, man. One day when you both retire in Epcot, you'll be sitting there. What's that?
We could play at Jelly Rolls, the dueling piano bar at the boardwalk. It'd be great. I would be, it wouldn't be much of a competition. I think he would clean my clock pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, he would be the one hand tied behind his back guy, and then you would be the try hard guy, and he would just smoke you either way.
I'd get smoked.
Yeah.
Roll me up and smoke me.
Speaking of smoking things, I'm wearing my brand new Fantasyland shirt, Jeremy. I don't know if you can see it. Looks like the Tomorrowland logo.
Smoking.
I don't know. Yeah. but there, you can get that on our Etsy store. And then, but I got it in like this light yellow, which is sort of see-through, but not really. Like, you know, you can put your hand in it and, like, see your hand through it. And, like, I put it on. I was like, oh, what are those two dark circles? Oh, okay, got it. So if you buy this color shirt, you know, be warned.
Yeah, I bought a shirt that very same color. It's it says Trader Sam's.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I haven't christened it yet.
Okay, well, just do it in the mirror first.
Trepidatious about that.
Yeah, just do it in the mirror first, because you might think you have two stains, but you don't.
You should have made the logo longer so that it, you know, it would cover up.
Well, so this is like this is a test print. I didn't think about it really at first, but I after seeing this, I went back and I went into the printer, you know, whatever I use, and did move it down a little bit, and then sort of made it a little bit larger. So hopefully, it does like, you know, cover the area.
Yeah.
So fantastic news going on over here. Right. How to cover your body up with ears up swag. Or something.
Yes.
I don't know.
I'm noticing a pattern.
Yeah. I'll give you a pattern. It looks like the tread of my Birkenstock on the back of your cheek.
Goes on.
Why don't you start, Jeremy? Let's do some news, huh?
Let's do a little news. Jason, yeah. You probably know that Florida is filled with interesting creatures.
Yeah, I do. I'm talking to one now.
We have bugs of all sorts, lizards, armadillos is a new one I recently found out we have, huge birds like you've never seen, and they're loud.
Really?
Oh, loud birds that walk around, and they're as tall as I am, and they're just outside, like, it's very weird. Vultures.
Okay.
They're very ugly. Snakes. It's a world-class menagerie.
I love it.
To quote the song Prince Ali from Aladdin. Mm. In fact, also right over here, a cottonmouth snake, which are it's a water moccasin. They're very poisonous. Was caught right here in the cart barn of a golf course right over here by my friend, and they chopped its head off.
Wow. I mean,
it's
I guess, what are you going to do?
Place.
Yeah.
This is the consequence of building your cities, towns, and amusement parks in swamps.
True.
And also, of course, we have alligators. Many people will probably remember 5 years ago, a small child of just 2 years old was playing on the sandy beach at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort when an alligator attacked from the water and the toddler lost his life as a result. So these animals are not to be messed with. They're to be taken seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, in the subsequent 5 years since the toddler's death, Disney has removed 226 nuisance alligators from its Central Florida property.
Wow.
This number is significant because in the 8 years prior to that child's death, nuisance alligator removals averaged around 23 a year. But if you can do a little math, that number now since in the last 5 years has almost doubled to just over 45 a year. So wow. Disney is clamping. That's almost one a week. They're getting an alligator all the time.
That's insane, man. That is insane.
Clamping down on the nuisance alligators. Now,
no pun
not
intended.
All alligators can even be described as a nuisance. So they're not even taking them all out of here. They have to be at least 4 feet in length and believed to pose a threat to people. Some of the reptiles captured are sold to alligator farms and zoos, but a vast majority are euthanized.
Wow. They're made younger. That's nice. That's cute.
They're what?
They're made younger. They're euthanized. They're made younger.
They are. Yeah. They are. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission does not attempt to relocate captured alligators, as they will often only try to return to their capture site. And most remote locations in Florida already have healthy alligator populations where there would be no room for any interlopers. Mm. Walt Disney World has special permits that allow the company to contract with alligator trappers who can sell the meat themselves for a profit, in addition to their $30 stipend for each capture. If you're concerned about the population of alligators being affected by this removal program doubling, however, fear not. 226 alligators removed over 5 years is just a tiny fraction of the estimated 1.3 million strong Florida alligator population.
No.
There are approximately as many alligators residing in Florida as there are people in the state of Maine.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what they really need to do is brand the Disney alligator meat that they pull from the thing when these people resell it. Bam, captured on Disney property. You can double the price on those meats because these weird Disney people will pay for it.
Yeah. In fact, a friend of mine was telling me you're onto something with the Disney branding, I think Knob Creek is a bourbon brand, right? They have a Disney Select bourbon.
Knob
it's like
Creek.
Twice the price.
Disney Select? What is Select about? Now I got to know.
What it's called Disney Select Bourbon. I think. This is all hearsay and...
Knob Creek.
Right?
The Polite Pig at Disney Springs and Disney World has a new whiskey. So it sounds like it's for... there's a restaurant called the Polite Pig, I guess, in Disney Springs.
Yeah, Disney Springs, sure.
Okay, so it sounds like that it's made for that place at Disney Springs.
Okay. Well, you can also get it, I believe you can buy it, or you can get it served to you, the Disney Select, at Geyser Point, which is the outdoor restaurant and bar at Wilderness Lodge, where I dined just last week.
Oh. And someone on Reddit is saying something else. This is from 2016, where if you go to Cove Bar, RIP, they have a barrel select bourbon from Knob Creek as well. So it definitely sounds like the restaurant program at the Disney resorts are, you know, sort of doing this thing.
Sure. I'll take it.
Interesting.
I will. I'll take any bourbon. If you want to slap some interesting thing on a bottle of bourbon, I will probably buy it. Where was I? After the toddler's death in 2016 at the Grand Floridian, Disney moved to install rock barricades and fences along many of the resort's numerous lakes to prevent guests from approaching too close to the water. And the company also posted signs around the resorts warning guests of the presence of alligators and dangerous snakes. So Disney doubling down on its alligator removal program over the last 5 years to keep us safe.
Well, that's good. Get those alligators out of here, man.
Get them out of here. I don't like them.
Yeah, I don't like them either. There's 1.2 million, you said. That's plenty.
It's enough.
That's enough, man. Let's let's keep them out of here. All right?
Yeah.
Jeremy, you like to eat some food, right? You're a human being. You like to ingest calories and burn them moving around and, you know, living and surviving. And to do that, you have to go to restaurants. And if you're out here at the Disneyland Resort, and if you tell somebody that you like to eat at the Blue Bayou, your statement is generally followed up with, I mean, it's not great food, but the atmosphere is amazing.
This is the, it's like people have a script.
Yes, for
Why
sure.
Not just, is the food not good there? I don't know. Isn't it just food?
It's all the same food. To be honest with you, I don't mind. I've eaten there twice, maybe three times. I don't remember because I went there, the last time I went there was on my birthday years ago, probably 5 years ago or more actually. I don't remember it. It's just, it's food. It's fine. It's overpriced. And I think that's maybe what is sort of like being judgy about it. It's like, God, you ate at the Blue Bayou? I mean, it's cool, but good Lord. You're paying. I mean, we went over this on our last show, which we ranked the places to eat at the Disneyland Resort. And Blue Bayou, it's $29 for a Monte Cristo sandwich.
$29?
Yeah, when you can go to the French Market right literally across the walkway and get it for $21. So it's an $8 upcharge to sit at the Blue Bayou and eat a fried ham sandwich. Like, it just makes no sense to me. But there you go. That's what it is. People pay for it.
$21 feels a little rich.
It really does, yeah, for sure. So anyway, it would stand to reason, Jer, that hearing buzz about the Blue Bayou reopening might slightly confuse you. People are excited about it. However, when the Blue Bayou does open its indoor patio for guest dining, there will be one more attraction that's sure to pack thighs in seats, and that's booze. Yes, the Blue Bayou is serving alcoholic beverages, which is about as polarizing as your statement about enjoying eating there. Not you specifically, but, you know, the fictional you talking to your friend, right? On May 27th, guests to Disneyland no longer have to trudge across the park and extend their risk of certain types of skin cancers waiting out in the hot sun for a stool at Oga's Cantina for a drink, because the Blue Bayou has your back. It's always been there for you, regardless of the astronomical prices it tries to charge you. This being California, of course, there will be a wine selection at the Bayou. 5-ounce pours will be flowing of Minor Family Chardonnay from Napa, J. Wilkes Cab Sauv from Santa Barbara, both for $11 for a 5-ounce pour, which is pricey, but you can understand it, I guess. Duckhorn, which makes some fantastic wines, they're pouring their Sauv Blanc and St. Helena for $13. Flowers Pinot and Healdsburg for $21. So you... Far Niente Chardonnay from Oakville for $24 and Silver Oak Cab also from Healdsburg for $41. Imagine sitting at the Blue Bayou and thinking that you're bougie enough to order a $41 glass of wine. I don't know. What do you think you are, in Club 33? Or you can get champagne for $10 from Le Grand Courtage. Now, because I'm semi-interested in where brands come from and how transparent they are with who owns them and where they source their spirits from, I looked up La Grande Courtage and, you know, just wanted to see where they're actually from. Because if you're shipping in champagne from France and charging people $10 a pour when you have Silver Oak Cab from Healdsburg, which is... well, it's like, what, 2 hours or so from my house. So it's like 8 hours from Disneyland. You're charging $41. Like, what's the, you know, where is this coming from? What's going on? So I looked at their website, and it reads more like a brand that just buys bulk wine and puts their own label on it. There's no actual address of the winery on their site at all. And they don't even list their wine comes from France on the site until you like click on the wine and you have to go like a couple clicks into learning about the wine. And it says like it's from France. The whole thing looks very L.A. with hip and chic women throwing flowers and laughing, probably at you, maybe at me, who knows. Turning the soil of the internet over a bit more, Jeremy, I discovered the brand was incorporated in Nevada but is located in Los Angeles. The founder, his name is Tanya, left her job in San Francisco to move to France in order to create a brand of champagne and sell it in the States. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's, I don't know, it's less transparent than they're trying to portray on their website. And also, I'm cool and right. Speaking about our conversation earlier, Jeremy, I was right about this. Anyway, there are plenty of California wineries doing champagne-style wines. I feel like the Blue Bayou sort of set a trend with all the other California wineries, so why stop at champagne? It's very weird to me, but, you know, I did my homework, and now you know. When you go to the Blue Bayou, it's really just, it's not made here. It's just shipped over from, because some lady who lives in L.A. But let's talk beer. The Blue Bayou does have beer. It has Abita Amber Lager and Carl Strauss Boat Shoes Hazy IPA, both for $11.50. Now, Abita makes good stuff. Hazy IPA should be poured down the drain at all times. And $11.50, I just don't like it. And $11.50 is way, way too much to pay for a 16-ounce beer. I don't care how good it is. They do have $8 non-alcoholic drinks, including a 31 Royal Street Mint Julep and Louisiana Lemonade, each served with a glowing ice cube, which are cool. Of course, they will be selling the national drink of New Orleans, the Hurricane. The new $15 Blue Bayou Hurricane features Bacardi Reserve Ocho Rum, Meyer's Dark Rum, Orange Juice, Passion Fruit Puree. Trips me up every time. Grenadine, Lime Juice, Cherry, and an Orange Garnish. Other Disneyland Resort hotspots are opening up as well. Disney California Adventure is going to bring back the Alfresco Tasting Terrace on the second floor of the Golden Vine Winery exclusively for Legacy Annual Pass holders on May 20th. At this point, I don't understand why you feel like you owe these people anything. Just don't worry about it. It's fine. The Paradise Garden Grill Eatery will reopen at DCA on May 13th. Disney's Grand Californian Hotel will reopen the Napa Rose and Storytellers Cafe restaurants to the general public on May 28th. The Napa Rose Fine Dining Restaurant will be open for dinner only, and Storytellers Cafe will be open for breakfast and dinner with no character dining or buffets. Online reservations for the Blue Bayou, Napa Rose, Storytellers Cafe, and Alfresco Tasting Terrace are available starting May 18th. The Grand Californian Hotel Craftsman Bar at the Grand Californian Hotel will start taking online reservations on May 28th. Only hotel guests staying there at the Grand Californian can dine at Hearthstone Lounge and the Craftsman Grill through May 27th. To block anybody else coming in, hanging out there. The direct entrance from the Grand Californian to DCA will return on May 28th, about a week before the new Marvel-themed Adventures Campus debuts on June 4th. So exciting stuff. Things are opening up and much more places to mill about there at the Disneyland Resort.
Well, I think that sounds great, and we're very happy to hear that Disneyland is reopened and we move toward the end of the pandemic. Things continue to progress over here on the East Coast as well. As the country as a whole has seen a 53% drop in new COVID cases in the last 30 days.
Wow. Good job.
Good job, USA. And Florida similarly has experienced a 64% decrease in new cases over the same time period. The state and its theme parks continue on the journey toward normalcy. Well, as normal as you can get.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
This week, Orange County, Florida, Mayor Jerry Demings announced that the county, where part of Walt Disney World sits, because Walt Disney World is so big, it actually sits in, I think, three counties. At least two.
I did not know that.
It straddles more than one county. I know that much.
Hell yeah.
As that county has nearly reached the 50% vaccination rate threshold at which the current mask mandate will be lifted for outdoor activities. Currently, the vaccination rate sits at 36% of eligible adults in Orange County. Orange County has also reduced the outdoor physical distancing requirements from 6 to 3 feet, provided you are wearing a mask.
Yep. Okay.
So we are bringing it down.
All right, man.
According to Mayor Demings, when 70% of the population over the age of 16 has received at least their first dose of the vaccine, and at the same time, the county's 14-day positivity rate falls below 5%, all mask requirements indoor and out will be lifted.
That's wild. Now, God, that feels uncomfortable, man. Just to hear. Well,
it should be noted that these are all merely unenforceable guidelines because our governor of Florida, DeSantis, signed a bill in executive order barring local municipalities from imposing any mandatory mask rules at all. So actually, it's only – these are just suggestions anyhow. But businesses, of course, can – and most of them do enforce their own mask rules.
Yeah.
While no official announcements have been made at Walt Disney World regarding mask requirements yet, it was observed this week that signage throughout the park pointing towards a 6-foot physical distancing guideline have been taken down.
Wow.
Yep. Not that anyone was observing it anyhow. But, you know, the fact that the official things are starting to be pulled. This comes after a recent announcement that temperature checks at Disney World would be removed for park guests next week on May 16th. Though some temperature check stations at Walt Disney World have already been removed, and the temperature check requirement for cast members arriving to work was already removed on May 8th last week. So no more temperature checks. And further, in the move on from COVID, cast members, at least some of the ones I've spoken with, are delighted that face shield requirements have begun to be rolled back. So here, all cast members are required to wear a face mask, but in certain areas of work, like food service and those workers who are, or cast members who are in close proximity to guests, have the additional requirement of a clear face shield. This week, Disney began to roll back that requirement for some of its outdoor cast members. So food service workers at this moment still required to wear the face shield, but those are even starting to be rolled back.
Okay.
And we move
on.
We go on.
We go on. La da 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 da.
You got it.
Oh, we go on. Right.
That's what's happening over here.
I love it. I don't. But, you know, it's scary and it's just going to take a while to get used to stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Moon Boots IPA is the latest 21st Amendment beer release. A West Coast IPA brewed with strawberries and loaded with Azaka, Citra Cryo, and Mosaic hops. Moon Boots IPA was designed and brewed by an all-woman team at 21st Amendment Brewery and in partnership with the Pink Boots Society, advocating for the advancement of women in the beverage industry. The label for Moon Boots IPA features the beer's creators envisioned as otherworldly beings and was commissioned by renowned Los Angeles-based animation artist Robin Eisenberg. Moon Boots IPA is a very limited release and available across the country at your favorite good beer shop, where 21st Amendment beer is sold.
There you go, Jeremy. What do you think of that?
That's very nice. I think we need Sully back, though. I mean, he has a very good You do a great job.
Thanks, man.
We hear your voice this whole show. So wouldn't it be nice to break it up?
It would be nice to break it up. Yep, it would.
I think he should record it.
I think he should, too. But what I want from Sully and what Sully gives me are very different. yes.
Maybe we should have a listener contest.
Would you like to do work and read this? We can.
Come on.
We change it enough.
Reading stuff. I'm sure they would.
Yeah, man. Maybe it'll be a Patreon thing.
Sure.
You know, that'd be fun. All right, Jeremy. Well, like you were talking about, you guys are very happy over there. I mean, maybe you weren't talking specifically Disney World fans, but just people in general, with Disneyland being opened. And since that has happened, there have been a lot of questions as to how the parks were going to handle social distancing with its more popular rides. I've talked about it on the show since the announcement was made. All those indoor rides. I mean, you got Big Thunder has an indoor portion a little bit, like the queue going up to get into things. You got Haunted Mansion and you got Indy. You got all these rides. Like, how are they going to deal with it, right? The Haunted Mansion famously opened up a cast member's only entrance around the side of the overflow queue, blowing the minds of most of the Disney News internet, somehow taking this doorway from a CM entrance to a secret entrance that nobody knows about, which was always fun to read the clickbait headlines after something so, you know, general and obvious comes out. Disney News really has a great way of spinning this into something that only they know about. But this way, guests can be metered onto the ride, bypassing the elevator scene, and head directly into the hallway and onto the ride. Were you going to say something, Jer?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. You like inhaled like you were about to go, but I didn't know.
No, just breathing.
All right. Well, can we not breathe? Can we hold our breath, please? Another popular ride that has a long and very indoor queue is Indiana Jones and the Eye of the Giant Lady Woman, or whatever it's called. Even at limited capacity, guests are indoors, winding through the temple queue and sometimes cramped spaces. So how was Disneyland going to handle that? Well, it turns out they have a ride next door that is currently closed, the Jungle Cruise. If the line for Indy gets too long, guests are being routed to the overflow section of the Jungle Cruise, which is upstairs above the regular line. Manned by a cast member, guests wait here upstairs until being sent across the walkway to the Indy queue. This way, the path stays relatively people-free because, as you know, the space around the Indy entrance can get pretty packed in on the best days. And it's just a big mess. And I guess once everything opened, that area sort of knotted up instantly. And so this is a pretty creative way to, you know, make sure that people can still wait in line because the overflow, Indy's overflow section is spaced out. And then that, so that runs out very, very easily, right? And, you know, there you go. So I thought that was pretty neat. Another way Disneyland is helping to keep people away at a socially respectful distance is by implementing a virtual queue / traditional queue system. If things get too busy, Disney can spin up the virtual queue section of the coding of the internet or whatever it's called and allow guests to claim a ride reservation from the Disneyland app itself. Visitors will have to be inside Disneyland to access the Indiana Jones Adventure World queue. I don't even write the word world in this entire paragraph, but apparently in order to access the Indiana Jones Adventure virtual queue. Park hopper visitors starting their day at Disneyland California won't be able to get into the Indy virtual queue until they've hopped to Disneyland after 1 p.m. I find that very interesting. If you're park hopping, you're getting punished for it, okay? Just want to tell you that now. The Indy virtual queue also will not open at 7 a.m. before Disneyland opens. But apparently Rise of the Resistance does this. The virtual queue for Rise opens before the park opens. Which I feel like is cheatery.
Any of this works. When I hear the words virtual queue, that is just a signal to me that I'm not riding that ride. Like, I don't know what that is. I don't know how to get on it. I don't know where. I don't know. I just don't. It's not happening. I'll be on Living with the Land.
Yep.
And that's fine.
And that's good.
I don't want to be in a virtual queue.
I want to be in virtual queue. I want to be looking at real square tomatoes. You know, that's what I want. Or watermelons or whatever.
I want to look at a pumpkin in the shape of a Mickey head and learning about things. I don't care about your virtual queue. Go away.
And tilapia swimming in a tank. It's basically just a reservation. I mean, it's like what you'd have to do at Disney World for Fast Passes. Same thing, I think. I don't know. I've never done it, but that's what I imagined is. Sounds like the same thing.
All right.
But anyway, what I found interesting is they're going to alternate between like a virtual queue and a traditional queue, which could spill into some of these other rides. Like even like Pirates, you know, Pirates can, they can get overflow. It'll be in the walkway, and they've already like mapped out little switchbacks to like absorb people in this dumb walkway. Turn on a virtual queue, you know, maybe that could, you know, reflect that. But
so what does everybody do? If everybody's in a virtual queue, you just have people just walking around like zombies. They have no place to go. You have no
It's a fast pass. So you virtual queue, you go, what I imagine is you go, oh, okay, I can come back between 2 and 4. All right, great.
Okay. Great.
I don't know. I have yet to be at the parks with a chance to do this.
Okay.
So I have no idea. And you would think that I would have learned about it, but I don't know. testing for the new system, Jeremy, was set to begin yesterday. However, Indy being Indy, the ride kept going down over and over throughout the entire day, and the program was unable to actually get tested. No word if they're running that test today, but I do know from cast members on the ground that the ride has crashed at least a couple times so far today already. Apparently yesterday, cast members, it was just a bad day. I mean, they were down for like hours sometimes, and at least an hour over and over again, often enough to not be able to do this. So that sucks. That sucks, man. You got to blow the dust off that thing. You know, it hasn't been ran for a long time, probably over and over again.
Yeah, it hasn't. But the other thing is, wasn't there someone who had like cracked the code of how to ride these rides without fast passes because they figured out that by a certain time, like generally at 1 o'clock, the thing is broken. And so if you wait by it, then it like you can be first in line. Isn't that like a thing? It's so unpredictably bad.
Yes, it's a thing.
Predictably bad, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was some Disney YouTuber or whatever. And I think even in the thing, it was like, doesn't work all the time because you have to depend on the ride going down. But it's a safe bet that if you want a fast pass, then you go wait in line. But I'm like, because then you get the always fast pass. But I think they stopped giving those out. To like where you, here's a fast pass for any ride with a fast pass. I don't think they do that anymore.
Oh.
So maybe it's old information. Maybe he's just making stuff up. I don't know. But at least you can get back on the ride at some point. And then I don't know. I think maybe it's a way to maximize your fast passes. Like if you already have a fast pass, you might as well go wait in Indy. If your fast pass is for something else, because then you're probably going to get one for Indy anyway, so then you technically have two at a time. But at that point, I don't know, man. It's too much like a game of Monopoly or something. It's just too, like, I'm trying to, like, rethink my trips to Disneyland moving forward. Because I did get very much in that mindset of, we got to do all the things. You got to do everything. Let's plan. Where do we go first? Let's do here, because then we can do here, and we're sort of, like, mapping it out. And it's like, I don't think I care anymore. I think next time I go back, I'm just gonna be like, I don't know, what do you want to do? Let's do this. Well, it's an hour wait. Okay. Well, it's an hour wait. Whatever.
Yeah.
It seems more chill that way.
I have to say, I don't hate Disney World without fast passes. Cause they don't exist, you know?
Yeah. Do you notice a big difference, or you just don't mind the difference?
I don't. Well, so there's a couple things. One, the posted weight is never accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's 30, it's going to be 15. If it's 60, it's going to be between 20 and 30. I've never weighted the posted weight. And 20 minutes in a line ride isn't that bad.
No, yeah.
You know, especially if you're with other people, you're chatting, all of a sudden you're on the ride, you don't even know it.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. It's just, it is what it is. You just wait in the line. And I do feel like I don't have to be like, oh my God, I got to get over there.
Yeah, and that's me.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's usually me, because it's like we did all this. I drove six hours, you know, I'm like cranky already. I hate people. I hate crowds, but I'm here. It's worse. It was better earlier. And, you know, I got to maximize my fun, but then I'm not having fun doing it. So,
yeah. I also, you know, there is limited, although it doesn't always feel like it, the parks are limited in attendance. Maybe when we're back up to regular, I'll want the fast pass back because I'll be able to handle it with these crowds. But
that's right.
For now, it's been okay.
Yeah. Mary is in the chat, and she says, Indy is the same ride as Dinosaur and Animal Kingdom. Does that break down as much as Indy? Jeremy, do you know that?
I'm not sure. I don't know that I'm at, I mean, I love that ride. I don't know that I'm at Animal Kingdom enough to notice its breakdown rate, and I haven't read anything about it, so I'm not sure.
I will say
it's
that
good question.
That when Taryn and I went to Animal Kingdom, we tried to get in line for him. We got in line for Dinosaur, but it was broken. It broke. We were inside somewhere in the queue. I don't know. The queue's not as cool as Indy, for sure. And then we waited for 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, and then finally we just left. It just it wasn't up then. So we're like, okay, well, that's it. We're done. I don't know. My only experience is that it does. Because I've never gotten out of line for Indy when it's down. Because usually it goes down and it's like a reset, but it's like a 20-minute cycle. So I don't know. And I think that's usually what happens with these. Like when rides are, quote, down, they just need to be cycled, but it takes 15, 20 minutes to get everything back up and running again. So it's not that it's really broken all the time. Because if you read, again, if you read Disney News articles, it's always, it was broken for what? And it's not broken. It's software. I mean, you reboot your computer every now and then. Is your computer broken? No. It's fine. Whatever.
I got stuck in the last week. What was it? The ballroom in the Haunted Mansion we got stuck in for almost 20 minutes.
Oh, I would like that for about 5.
It was cool. And then it was like, all right, when is this over? And then it was so long that eventually they shut the music off, which is a little bit weirder because like the things are still dancing, but it's just silence.
And you can like hear the motor running and stuff.
Yeah, it's actually scarier.
Really?
The music. Well, because it's just strange.
It is strange, man. Anyway, that's my story, man, about Indy and the virtual queue and how they're dealing with stuff over there, which doesn't sound very good, but.
Okay. Well, I don't have any more stories, but I would be remiss if I didn't bring up a little rumor that's been going on around over here.
Oh, God. I love rumors so much. We are a rumor-based show.
You are. You really are. But I think that I'm not going to say what the rumor is. I'm going to say what the facts are.
Okay, let's go.
People are deducing certain things based on these facts, and that causes the rumor. So let's just say what's going on.
Okay, let's do it.
There are guests who have been staying over in the Epcot Resort area at those hotels, and they are flagging up, reporting that they're hearing fireworks in the wee hours of the night coming from Epcot's World Showcase Lagoon.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Which they don't do fireworks yet, right?
No, exactly.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And also some new banners have been put up over at Disney's Hollywood Studios, the Fantasmic banners. The old ones were taken out, brand new ones put up all around. So people are speculating that nighttime spectaculars are imminently coming back.
Okay, interesting. I wonder how they would do that with the Fantasmic. Everyone's packed in.
First of all, Fantasmic is easy.
Is
because
it?
Our Fantasmic is a stadium. You can block seats out.
Oh.
We don't just hang out in the walkway like you animals.
Yeah, that's what we are, man. We're scummy.
It's a little bit more sophisticated. There's seating. Also, why is it that I can't wait next to someone to watch fireworks, but I can wait next to them in the queue for Soarin'? Indoors.
Yeah, like, I guess.
I think it's time to bring the fireworks back, guys.
Okay. All right.
We're outside.
Yeah, that's true. So what do you think? And do you think this is false rumors that people are just mucking about online? Because you would think that at some point someone is seeing these things blow up in the air.
Right. Well, exactly.
Instead of just reporting, hearing it.
Probably are. And they brought in tents. So they're building, obviously, this new Illuminations replacement called Harmonious, which is the most disharmonious thing I've ever seen. There's nothing harmonious about ugly barges in a beautiful lagoon. That itself is not harmonious.
Do you hear anything about, I mean, because clearly Disney knows that people are unhappy with this.
They must.
No one's quiet about it. And I know that Disney's like social media vacuum just hoovers up everything and then they organize it and funnel it to whatever. So they got to know. What do you think they're doing?
not only do they have to know, just forget about even the social media reaction. It looks like a disaster. They test these fountains during the day and it's laughable how bad it looks. It's like, what? So I'm sure someone in charge has got to be looking at this. Are you just texting in the middle of our conversation?
Yes, I am. I'm trying to find out. I'm asking someone who knows. Don't worry about it. You weren't supposed to call me out on it. It was supposed to be secretive.
Well, you know, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm just asking my friend.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start bringing a newspaper to this recording and I'll just read it. Anyhow, what was I saying?
Please do. Yeah, just fold The Economist over and start reading an article.
So great. You start reading yours and I'm like, you know what? I'll be back in five. But it looks ridiculous. So I think, I mean, this is the question I was talking about with some friends today is like, I want to know if a meeting has happened yet. Like, guys, look, tomorrow at noon, we've got a problem on our hands.
Got to figure it out.
Bring ideas.
Bring ideas. A box of those cookies from Garibaldi or whatever it's called.
Gideon's. Yeah. No, I think this has got to be on someone important's radar at this point. So I don't know, but so they've got the tent and they put up these tents at the front of World Showcase, which they, you know, presumably they put like the equipment to start really running simulations and tests using the new fireworks equipment. So it's believed that they are really working on this and that we're going to get fireworks, you know, probably this summer, which it's May. So summer's
Away. Well, I mean, it sounds like the mask mandates are going away at the end of the month or whatever, right? So it's probably just spinning up for that, too.
Probably.
Yeah. But
I think Disney will keep masks longer than the.
Yeah. But I think that.
County.
I think it'll definitely enable them or embolden them to increase capacity, though.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. Interesting.
So that's the happenings.
That's the rumor mill, huh? Okay. Well, you look, I believe it.
It's not really a rumor.
It's basically just confirmed now.
Well, no, it's just like, here's some things that are happening. Yeah. You do the math.
Yeah. Okay. Well, very good. All right, Jeremy. Well, thank you very much again. Thank you to everybody tuning in live. Really appreciate it. You guys having fun in the chat there. And let's see. Our next show is on the 19th. And we're going to be having Jeremy on, a lovely Jeremy here, to talk about, what is the music of the...
Jungle Cruise.
The music of the Jungle Cruise. That'll be a good time. And then after Jeremy's segment, we're going to be speaking with Dave from DaveLandWeb.com, who is very big in the Disney space of, collecting, you know, old Disney photographs and whatever. He also takes a bunch of photos in the parks, too. So I want to talk to him a little bit about... just taking photos in general. How do you take photos at the parks? We get some, you know, good tips on you know, park photography, which I think would be fun. But mainly just, you know, how he got started collecting all these images. And he's a big resource, not only for Disney fans, but for people, you know, on the company side, if you know what I'm trying to say. So that'll be fun. So tune in for that. Jeremy, what's going on at Spectro Radio, man? What's happening over on your side real quick before we leave?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, just lots of great music. The big thing right now this month, because I'm celebrating Disney World's 50th. Even if Disney World doesn't want to celebrate it, I'm going to celebrate it. And, you know, I've got a monthly, every month, a different show. This month, we've got The Real Symphonies of Illuminations, which is a little take on, you know, The Real Housewives of New York City.
Okay. All right.
Well, The Real Symphonies of Illuminations, so the original Illuminations and Illuminations 98 were basically medleys of classical music. Well, now we are going to be able to hear not just the little edited part, but the full pieces.
I like it.
Composers, a full hour of The Real Symphonies of Illuminations every night at 7 p.m. Eastern.
That's cool. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Cans.
Did I give that to you? Did I give that idea to you?
No.
I think I did. I think that was my idea. Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, thanks a lot for tuning in. Jeremy, you're welcome for my ideas. And until next time, everybody, we will see you in and around the parks. Something like that. Well, I don't know. We'll see.